So how is everyone today? Anybody glad to live in a free country? Wow. You know, a great price was paid in many places in the world so that we could be here today, and I think what an awesome privilege it is to live in a place like we live. But you know, the thing about the United States is this, that when you live in a free country, it also comes with a lot of challenges. Living in a free place, there are always challenges to freedom, there are always challenges to life in general, and today, if you look at the news, you'll see that there are a lot of issues happening right now, maybe even more so than ever has been, some real controversial things happening. You know, we've seen what's happened in South Carolina with the church shooting, and, you know, the whole focus now has been about hate crime and about, you know, people trying to live in a world where there's freedom and still hanging on to some of the past and some of the racial issues of the past. There's also terrorism, you know, with the Muslim extremists and also homegrown terrorists, and those issues continue to kind of be a point of fear for a lot of people. And of course, there was the Supreme Court decision regarding civil unions for homosexual couples, and these things have been a challenge for a lot of people as they've come up. Of course, there's the Confederate flag controversy, which you can't hardly look at Facebook and not see a Confederate flag. And so there's that going on. And to top it off, we're also in an election. So, like, could there be any more stuff going on at one time than there is currently? You know, it's kind of a media circus right now. There are a lot of things happening. But these times are critical for us. They're critical for the obvious reasons, because there are things that are global and national threats. There are issues of national moral integrity. And there's also, of course, government leadership change out and things happening like that. But as Christians, there's a more important issue that we have to consider as we go through these times. And that is, exactly what role do we play? You know, like, what part do we have in this? What are the things that we should stand up and speak against? And what are some of the things that we should be saying? How should we respond to a world like this? Because we don't always do a good job of this. And I say that just, you know, from looking at Facebook, from watching the news, you'll see Christians stand up and they'll do things that sometimes make me kind of scratch my head and wonder, you know, are we sending a hateful message to a world, or are we trying to love on people and leave a picture of Christ for them? I don't know that we do a good job with this. We got to know who we are, and we've got to understand what role we play in this world. There are many things that are being decided in their world situations that we don't agree with. There are a lot of things going on right now that I don't personally agree with. But there's something inside of us, though, at times that wants to protest the things the government says, the government believes, puts in motion. There are times that we don't agree with the Supreme Court. And there are times that we see things like the Dukes of Hazzard being pulled off of TV land, and it's just a travesty, right? You know what I mean? Like, that's a really big deal, apparently. And we're, like, so tempted to grab one of these, you know, and, like, want to stand on a soapbox and tell everybody about what we really think about the Dukes of Hazzard being pulled off of TV land, right? Or what we really think about gay marriage, or what we really think about the Confederate flag. And, like, we want to get on our soapbox and say something. And it's so interesting. Like, what is our place? You know, there are people who will tell you that Christians who don't stand up for anything, or who don't say anything or make public statements, that they're somehow wishy-washy. But I can tell you that we've been given a very clear message to take to the world. And the message isn't like, I'm really upset about everything that's going on right now, because sometimes we get so wrapped up in worldly affairs that the message that we send out is kind of a message of hate, and it's not really what God wants to hear from us. We're so tempted to grab the bullhorn, but I can tell you, before you do that, before you rant and lash out and post things on Facebook you shouldn't post, or put on the Pharisee robe, or whatever you do, we really need to go to the Word and see what the Bible says, right? So take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, if you have your Bibles here today. 1 Peter chapter 2. Do you know the Bible talks a lot about how we conduct ourselves and what we should say and what our message is to the world? And there are a lot of things the Bible says, but for some reason when things happen that we don't like, it's like all of a sudden we know exactly what we want to say and we want to jump up there and tell people. And we need to go back to what the Bible says our message really is. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, I want to read to you something about our message to the world. Here's what Peter says. But you are the ones chosen by God. I'm reading out of the message, by the way. Chosen for the high calling of priestly work. Chosen to be a holy people. God's instruments to do His work and to speak out for Him. To tell others the night and day difference He made for you. From nothing to something. From rejected to accepted. That's our message, right? I can tell you, that doesn't sound anything like what I heard on CNN the other day at all. You know, from people who are standing up for things that they believe in. You know, our message is very, very clear. It says here And this is our reminder that we were actually chosen by God. Do you think we were chosen by God to be another voice in the crowd? Do you think we were chosen by God to be one more voice of protest in this world? Or do you think we were actually chosen by God to bring a message to the world of love and acceptance? I think sometimes we get a little bit mixed up in this. It says we were chosen for the high calling of priestly work. And I think a lot of times people think the priestly work is for me to do because that's what priests and pastors and stuff do. But I can tell you the priestly work is actually for all of us. And so people would say, well, like, what's the priestly work then? What am I supposed to be doing if there's priestly work laid out for me? And it's this. And it's like, this is kind of whittling it all down to one place where this is like basically the whole point. It's to turn people's hearts toward God. That's it, right? So like everything that you do and everything that you say should turn people back to Christ. But that's kind of easier said than done when it comes down to like dealing with life issues, because sometimes life issues stir us in a place where it's kind of difficult and we have a hard time being the voice of Christ to the world. We're not necessarily drawing people to Christ. Would you guys agree that that's our whole point? Okay, so how do we do with that, just to be honest? I mean, where are we really when it comes to these kinds of issues in life? How good are we at pointing people back to Christ in the midst of things we don't like? Not always that great. It says that we're chosen to be a holy people. A holy people is a people that are set apart for Christ's use. They're not set apart to be called Christian just so that they can say, this is our stance, this is who we are, this is what we are about, and get to a point where we get so dogmatic about what we think that we're set apart for the sake of being set apart. See, God set us apart for His use. And I wonder sometimes, like, what does God really want to see happen in the midst of these issues of life? Because these issues really stir people up. You know, the issue of gay marriage, the issue of the Confederate flag, the issue of hate crimes, these things stir people. So, like, the question is, like, how do we really respond, and what do you think God's agenda is in all of it? Because in the end, here's the thing. God wants everybody to come back to His Son. Do you know that? Like, that's the whole point of it all. So how do we respond in that kind of an environment? It says that we're to speak for Him, and here's what we're to speak. To tell people about the difference that God made in our life. That doesn't sound anything like what I've heard before. That doesn't sound like the things that I hear when people get angry about these things. You know what we should be saying is, you know what, more than anything, I got to tell you what Christ did in my life, and He can do the same thing for you, even in the midst of any conversation. Do you know that? Like, no matter what the issue is on the table, we can always go back to the place where we can say, I want you to see where Christ has been in my life, where He's brought me from, and He can do the same thing for you, from nothing to something, and from rejected to accepted. Like, that's my whole message. That's the priestly message we're to take out. So we were called to speak these things, but ranting and blogging and yelling and posting our beliefs never really accomplished these things. You know, forming an intellectual argument may challenge the minds and sometimes even the patience of people, but it never really succeeds in turning the hearts of people. Do you know that? And somehow we think that as Christians we're just going to go out there and say, you know what, what's happening is wrong, and I just wanted to let you know, and all of a sudden the world goes, you know what, you're so right, and I've totally turned my heart toward Christ. Like, that's not where they're at. Like, this intellectual, we want to engage people intellectually on these points, and we don't really want to do anything toward turning their hearts back to Christ. And so, you know, I've never seen anything on CNN or Fox News where two people are having a debate about an issue, whatever the issue may be, and then when it's all over, the guy goes, you know what, you are totally right, I'm ready to give my life to Christ. That's not what happens, because people are so into pointing out the issues and hanging on to their viewpoints so closely that the message of the priestly work that they're to do is never really getting out there. You know, they're not drawing people to Christ. They're making this divisive point on what they think. And, you know, Jesus very firmly believed in things, and He had a very strong conviction, and He shared those things with people, but everything that He did was to reconcile people to His Father. Like, that was the whole point. And so that's the message, that's the example that we have. You know, when we look at this particular passage right here, we can't read this word about us doing priestly work and about being holy and doing God's work and giving our testimony about what God's done in our lives and how He's taken us from rejected to accepted. We can't look at this and then decide we're going to grab this bullhorn and stand on the soapbox and start screaming out to everybody what they need to be doing. You can't do that. You can't come to the reality of your priestly job and then somehow do your priestly work through this. It just doesn't work that way. But so often people attempt to do that. I want to read the rest of the passage to you, beginning in verse 11. Friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourselves cozy in it. That's a pretty good, pretty direct way to say that, right? This world's not your home, so don't make yourself cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. live an exemplary life among the natives. I like the way that's said, among the natives. It's like you're a missionary in this place. Have you ever realized that even though you were born here, it doesn't make you a native to this place? You know that? Like, we're not the natives. You know, we're the foreigners who live in this land, and God's actually given us a message to take to the people. But there are times that we get so wrapped up in what's happening, we begin to act like the natives. We begin to think this is like everything that we have, and everything that's going wrong, we have something to say about it. We want to stand on the soapbox and yell. We want to grab the bullhorn. We want to do it all. Like, this is all we've got. And I can tell you, this is not all we've got at all. This is just the very beginning. Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate that. Amen. I'll take that. It goes on to say this. Live an exemplary life among the natives so that your actions will refute their prejudices. Do any people have prejudices against Christians? They have us all figured out, right? And I can tell you, you know why they have us figured out is because they've seen a lot of stuff. Do you know that? And they haven't always seen the things that they were supposed to be seeing. They haven't always seen Christians act the way they should act. They've seen Christians take hateful messages. You know, some of the stuff that I've seen out there is sad. It's sad. It's not a representation of Christ at all. I've seen situations where people are holding signs saying that God hates homosexuals. You've got to be kidding me. That's the best we can do as Christians? That's not a message. And I know that's pretty direct for you today. But I can tell you that that is not the message that God gave us to send to a world that's hurting. You know that? More than anything, people need to know that they're loved exactly where they are, just like we were in the midst of our sin. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and they died for everyone. It says, but you are the one, excuse me, that's, we already read that. It says here, then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. Does anyone know there's a celebration at the end of all this? Like, whether you go to be with the Lord today or you go when he comes back to get you, there's going to be a celebration at some point here. And that's like what we're living for. That's the whole point of this life, is that we're looking forward to the celebration, but we're also looking forward to people coming with us to the celebration. We're not going alone. So it says, make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of fools who think that you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family, revere God, and respect the government. Is that pretty straight? Like, I don't think he minced words with this one. I think this is pretty straight, right down the middle. You might be thinking, well, it's easy for Peter to say because he's not dealing with the issues we're dealing with today. And that's also an ignorant thing to say or think. And the reason for that is that the things that Peter dealt with were much worse than what we deal with today. And the funny thing is, he didn't really say much about it. Matter of fact, he didn't say anything about Nero. This book right here, this letter was written at about AD 65. In 64, Nero burned Rome and blamed it on the Christians. So you can imagine that there was kind of a bad environment for Christians at the time. As a matter of fact, he persecuted Christians, but he almost seemed to enjoy doing it. He did it in some strange ways. These are the things that were happening, and if they were happening today, I guarantee Christians would have some huge issues, like skewering Christians on poles and burning them and using them as torches in the Colosseum. Okay, serious issues, right? He would wrap them in animal skins and lay them out or put them out into the arena and let wild animals chew them up and eat them. That's what was going on at the time. Huge persecution for Christians. Yet when you read the writings of Peter, you don't hear these things even talked about. As a matter of fact, he's talking about how we need to respect the authorities, and you're thinking, why would he do such a thing? Wouldn't he have something to say? Do you know what would happen if that was the environment today? We would want pastors, we would want churches to stand up and say, this has got to stop. You know what I mean? Like, we would almost expect, like, Peter would stand up and start rallying the Christians together and say, they can't treat us this way. We need to stop this, right? All the Christians need to rise up. So you can imagine that would be kind of expected, but Peter didn't spend his time writing those things. He wrote this. He wrote that we should respect the authorities, that we should treat everyone with dignity, and respect the government, even in the midst of that. He could have exercised his freedom by setting the record straight or speaking against Nero, which I wouldn't have recommended, and or calling the Christians to fight the authorities, but somewhere in his walk with Jesus, he understood who he was and why he was born. He was very clear about that. He understood that he actually had a priestly work to do. Wouldn't it be cool if we all understood that we have a priestly job to do? To a world that's hurting. Have you ever thought of yourself as a priest before? That, like, the job you really do in this world is a priestly work like I do? He understood that. He understood that he couldn't turn people's hearts by being another voice in the crowd. That he couldn't just argue with them all the time and somehow get them to turn their minds and their hearts toward him. He didn't act like the natives. He acted nothing like them. And he wrote this letter with the celebration of Jesus' return in mind. Like it was all about the end game, you know? So when he had his moment to speak to the people, he didn't waste time talking about the atrocities inflicted upon the Christians or the world that he was just passing through or the corruption of the authorities. He talked about our King Jesus. That's what he had to say. That was his response to the world. What a cool response that would be. And you know why he responded that way is because in the end, he knows that when Jesus comes back, or people to go to be with Jesus, that they experience eternal life and there's this celebration that happens. And so he was always like treating people and speaking with celebration in mind. And I wonder if that's the way we deal with people when we go to Walmart and then the cashier doesn't treat us nicely and we have something to say about that. I wonder if that's the attitude we have. Do we think to ourselves, I want to make sure this person comes to the celebration with me, you know? How about speaking to a community about the issues I talked about before, or political issues? Are we thinking like, I want to make sure they make it to the celebration with me? Or are we thinking more about, I just want to be heard and I want them to know where I stand? Or do we somehow think we're doing God a favor when we stand up and bring this message to people about that sin and you need to change your life? I really don't know where our mindset is. But we've got to be in this place where even in the midst of pain and suffering and trouble and problems and challenges in life, that we're talking about Jesus and we're talking about the example that we set, just like Peter did. Peter talked about our mindset. We need to have our mindset thinking about these kinds of things. He talked about our love for each other and our reverence for God and then our respect for the world leaders, even if they don't do everything right. You know, in light of our purpose and our soon coming King, our Savior, our priestly position, and our testimony that we bring to people, there's no way that we can feel good about the megaphone and the soapbox. Do you know that? There's no way we can get there. There's going to be a day when the celebration of Jesus' return is here. Anybody excited about that? There's going to be a day, there's a huge party. You know that? But here's the catch on the whole thing, and this is the whole point of the message today, is that how you respond to a hurting world today affects who's going to join the party. Do you know that? And it's on us. It's our priestly work. This is the whole point. We want to bring people to this party. We want them to experience the celebration. But what we do and how we say things and how we act today, it determines who comes to the party later. And I don't know that we always get that because I think we somehow think we have rights. And I can tell you, as Americans, you have all kinds of rights and freedoms. But it doesn't mean that we exercise them all. And even though we exercise freedom, we do it responsibly, and the message that we bring is always a message of love and acceptance toward people who are lost and hurting. We don't need to be like this voice out there that tells everybody what they're doing wrong. Because I can tell you, we all are doing things wrong in our lives. That's kind of like the problem with being human, you know? We don't need to be that voice, but we certainly need to be doing our priestly work. You know, it's okay to stand up for our convictions, but they should always be expressed in love with reconciliation to Jesus as the focus while keeping the celebration day in mind. Like, that's the whole point. So our message is clear. Even through the cloudiness of civil unions and terrorism and Confederate flag debates and government failures and everything else, we serve a Savior who died for us all and who wants a relationship with us. That's the message. One who loves us in spite of our sin. Do you know, the world doesn't want a debate. The world doesn't want someone to try to change their mind. The world wants to be loved. Do you know that? More than anything else. That's like the root at every person's heart is they want to be loved. And I really believe they're looking for a church who can love them where they're at. They're looking for people who don't want to try to engage them in some sort of debate or prove that they're wrong. They just want someone to love them where they're at. They're wanting to see a picture of Jesus so badly. So the question is, are we going to take a hold of our priestly work and show them a picture of Christ, or are we going to continue to stand our ground and bring this message to people that we somehow think is turning them toward Christ but is actually turning them away? I don't want to be responsible for turning anyone away from Christ. And I know that when I show them love, and my message to them is always a priestly message, and that is that Christ wants relationship with you no matter where you're at in life. Then it begins to draw people toward Christ and they come the way of Christ. That's all of our job. That's not mine. That's everyone. We need to bring a message that lets people know that Christ is waiting for them if they just choose Him. And when we do this and we bring people to Christ, our invitation to the celebration and their invitation to a celebration is a done deal. Do you know that? Does this change anybody's mind about maybe where we stand on issues? See, this wasn't meant to be something that intellectually like engaged you today to change your mind toward what I'm saying, but it draws you toward Christ. Do you understand? Like, I don't want you just to say, you know, I'll do it because He said it. That's not the point. I want you to get to a place in your life where you say, you know, I want to do this because I want to show Christ to people in everything that I do. I never want to post on Facebook some mean, hateful thing because I've seen so many things on Facebook from people that I just can't quite wrap my head around. And they did it in the name of Christ, you know? But I think more than anything, we just need to love people where they're at. Can we do that? You guys with me? Our purpose in life is turning hearts toward Christ. That's it. So how do we do that? With every word you speak and with everything that you do and with every time you think you need to make a statement about something, that we draw people back to the love of Christ every time. This is what God wants to see from His people. This is what the Word says. It's very clear. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment? There may be some of you today that says, you know, I want to be in a place in my life where this is my focal point, that I'm thinking about the celebration, that I want to bring people there, and I want to present Christ to people in an accurate way. If this is where you're at today and you say, you know, this is exactly where I want to be in my life, and I want to bring that message to people, then I want to pray for you today. Father, I just lift up each and every person here today. Lord, we want our message to be a message of reconciliation, of drawing people back to You. Lord, we know that the sin of life is what separates us from You. But Lord, I pray today that You begin to close the gap through the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You begin to speak to Your people, Lord, and give us a message to bring, a message of love and a message of acceptance to people. Lord, help us to understand that we don't have to get our megaphone and stand on the soapbox to be heard. Lord, the message You're giving us is a priestly message. It's a message of drawing people toward You. Lord, thank You for moving our hearts in that direction. Lord, help us to be cognizant of this every day, Lord, as we go to the store, as we go to work, no matter what we're doing, that the message that we bring is always a message of reconciliation. That the very witness of where we've been and who You are in our lives, Lord, and the way that we treat people is just such a picture of You that draws people toward You, no matter what walk of life they come from, no matter what beliefs they have. Lord, we want to change the world that we live in. We're in the world, but not of the world. We're not one of the natives, Lord. You've called us to be set apart. You've called us to bring a very specific message, Lord. Help us to take hold of our calling, our priestly calling, to be all You've called us to be. Lord, we love You and praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we continue with our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a moment? There may be someone here today who says, I'm ready to make a decision for Christ. I feel the Lord calling me today. I feel like I want to see what He can do in my life. There may be some here today who say they want to rededicate their life to Christ. They've not been where they want to be, but they're ready to get back on track and they want to take hold of their priestly work. If this is where you're at today, whether it's a first-time decision or a rededication, if you could just lift your hand where you said, I want to pray for you today. Is there anyone? Thank you. Anyone else today? Thank you. Anyone else? I just want to lead you in this prayer today. Father God, I come before You. I dedicate my life to You today. Father, I'm sorry for the way that I've lived. I'm sorry for the distance that's come between us. But Lord, I come before You and I lay my life down before You and I ask that You make something beautiful out of it. Lord, I want to see You move in my life. I want to see You work through me in the lives of others. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit pours into me today. Lord, change me from the inside out. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Can we thank the Lord for what He's done in this place today? Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Could I have the prayer team come forward, please? What I'd like to do as we close the service today, the altar is going to be open for prayer. If anyone would like prayer for anything going on in your life today, we want to invite you to come forward. And what I'd like to do is close the service, and we're going to leave the altar open to follow. Father God, I thank you for the time that we've had today. I thank you that we can open your word and your Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, that we get an opportunity today and even in the days to come, Lord, to share a picture of your love with people, Lord. Help the words that we use be words of healing for people, and words that connect them to you and draw them to you. Lord, I pray your blessing over every family represented here today. I pray that as we go out of this place, Lord, that you give us opportunities to be a light to this community. Lord, we love you and praise you and thank you for all you do and for who you are. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful week, and the altar is open.